And you're a bad, you're a bad boy.
That's right, bad boy. You better go to confession today.
Well, I, again, that's another piece, Paul, that it certainly gives the whole idea of the afterlife a whole different flavor.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't get any of those these people that he's talking to, that he's bringing back from their incarnation. I don't get any of them have any fear over hell or sin or anything else. They're just, they're on a trip. They're on, you know, it's, they have some fears, but it's not the fears we have right. been taught.
Right. I'm recalling that video clip that I sent out a couple of weeks ago, that where this guy in the dentist office nearly had sort of an out of the body experience.
Right.
And one of the things that he talked about there was when he was in that, let's call it that transitional place between life and death.
Right.
And was more on the letting go of the body side of things, realized that, you know, all this stuff is going on, but I'm not attached to any of it.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, what I thought was so important is not unimportant, but it's certainly not the way I held it before.
Yeah.
So we'll probably be exploring some of that this morning.
That was
morning, everybody.
That was fascinating.
Cool. Thank you for sharing that, Paul.
Okay.
Yeah. Good morning, everybody. Welcome. And I must say, I was talking to Margo a little bit earlier, and I was overcome with a sense of being honored by being able to do this work with you all. It's an honor to be able to do this. And that, when I realized that particular word and the energy behind that particular word of experiencing myself as being honored with this or for this, that I am very touched by your love, by your awareness, by our connection with one another. So let's take a moment to just experience that connection. Although we are not in the same physical place, that we are connected with one another. In some ways beyond space and time. Because even if you join this gathering as a recording, other than Sunday morning, we are all still here. We are all still with one another. We are all united in purpose, in our evolution, in our awareness, in our understanding. Although each one of us might express that somewhat differently in words, our teaching and our learning goes beyond words. And so as we begin this morning with Unity's Prayer of Light, know that we invite all beings to be part of this circle of consciousness, this circle of growth, this circle of awareness, circle of serving, this circle of truth. The light of God surrounds us, the love of God enfolds us, the power of God protects us, and the presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. So as we begin this morning, does anybody have anything that might be left over from other times, or questions, or things they would like to get filled in or share or stretched or explained or whatever that might happen to be? You have any unfinished business you're coming in here with? Not that I have all the answers. Would that I did, but I don't. And actually having all the answers is not the answer either. Because that's only just going to satisfy my intellect for a while. That's a big difference that we're learning here, is that my small self, my little self, is always looking for an end point, always wants to get things finished. Am I done yet? Whereas my divine consciousness, my divine self, realizes that there is no getting there. There is no end point. Are we there yet? It's not attached to ending something. It's not, it's continually in the process of development, of evolution. And it rejoices in that this is an ever-growing and ever-evolving kind of experience for each one of us as spiritual beings.
Jerry.
Yo.
Someone once said, I don't know if you heard that.
No, I didn't. I missed that.
The questions are more important than...
Oh, then the answers?
Yes.
Yes. I've got a question that keeps coming to me. It came up in as I was putting together the sermon for this Sunday. A very healing question, and one that I think I need to remember more often than I do, is what is this thing, this incident, this circumstance, this feeling, this whatever is happening to me right now, or whatever my perception is telling me is happening right now, what am I learning from this? Or what am I supposed to be learning from this? We can do that with anything. What am I supposed to be? What am I called to learn from this? Now, the answer might not come to us in words. We might like it to come to us in words, but it might come to us in some other ways. We might remember, when we ask that question, we might remember the line of a song or a piece of poetry or an incident in our lives. Or we might even experience an emotion like grief or anger or sadness or joy. All the time we are here to learn, to heal, to stretch, to transform. And yet it's hardly ever that I stop to ask myself the question, what am I learning from this? What is this thing, this feeling, this incident, this stuff that's going on in my life? What is it trying to teach me? And not make it something outside, because to realize that I created this thing, this incident in my life, I created it to teach me something. So its purpose is there for me to learn. What am I learning from this? What am I called to learn from this? What is this thing teaching me? I'm on page 219. Towards the middle of the page. And if you don't have a book, that's perfectly okay, because I'm going to read it to you. So when you stand on the threshold of a new choice and you claim your power as the one who may do this, you align to great possibility and achievement, we say. Achievement, we say, is the result of the possibility you have invited. So again, to repeat this thing that we've gone through many times before, is opening myself up to the possibility is what is kind of pushing my small limited self as far as it will go. And then my divine consciousness takes over. Achievement in manifestation, achievement in love, achievement in worth, and all these things are simply saying you have inherited the kingdom. The kingdom is here. It has always been here. It lies beyond, right beyond this doorway. So what is it that you desire right now for yourself? What is it that you desire for the world? I was thinking about this the other day. How many of us, maybe even fairly recently, before the virus hit, how many of us have prayed that the world might change? I know I was one. I'm sure most of you were too. Now, none of us realized what the method or the means of that change might be. But what we are being asked to hold right now is to hold the possibility that because of this instrument of change that has been invited as being part of our work here on planet Earth, that the planet and humanity as a racial consciousness, as an individual consciousness, will become more conscious, more aware, more loving, more kind, more peaceful, more generous. I don't know what that's going to look like, but I get in touch first with my heart's desire. That let's say, for instance, putting it very, very simply, that the world might be a more loving place, place of equality, place of sharing, a place that is not involved with judgment or hatred. And then, next step, getting aware of my heart's desire, step one. Next step, step two, is opening myself up to the possibility that that can happen. That's step number two. Opening myself up to the possibility, part of that step is letting go of what I think that's supposed to look like. The kingdom of heaven is here, oh, and that's what it's going to look like. I don't know that. It's like praying for something and expecting, here's how this prayer is going to be answered. What I've done is I've already negated all of these hundreds or thousands of other possibilities because I'm looking over here someplace. I'm saying, this is the way the prayer is supposed to be answered. I'm holding on to this form that I think is going to be the answer to my prayer. And what we're saying is, no, please don't do that. By creating a form that you think this is going to look like, you're limiting the possibility, tremendously limiting the possibility. So I get in touch with my heart's desire. I open myself up to the possibility that that can and will happen, even though I don't know what that's going to look like. And then I open myself up to allowing my divine self, my divine consciousness, the inner consciousness, the Christ consciousness that is part of who I am. I let that take over and say, here, you know how to do this. I don't. My limited self does not know how to do this, but you do here. And however this shows up in my life, in my personal life, or in my racial consciousness, teach me, show me how to be able to deal with this in the best way, the most loving way, the most transformational way possible. Because I cannot come up with that with my mortal, with my thinking mind. So please let me know how to do this, how to deal with this in the best way I can do that for myself and for all those others around me. That's my prayer today. Achievement in many ways, achievement in manifestation, it becomes part of this material world that I live in. Achievement in love, achievement in worth. And all these things are simply saying you have inherited the kingdom and you have opened yourself up to the inheritance. We're not the prodigal sons coming home and saying, Father, you know, I no longer deserve to be your son. I'll just be one of your servants, blah, 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 blah. And the father says, no, you inherited the kingdom. Don't deny it. Don't deny yourself what you have inherited. It's part of your life. The kingdom is here. It's always been here. It lies right beyond the doorway. And you know, the doorway is going to show up all day long today. Practically every moment of today, when you're conscious of it, you're going to have a choice of how am I going to hold this experience? Am I going to hold it in anger and fear and chaos and separateness, or am I going to hold it in transformation? Am I going to hold it as part of my learning that I have chosen, even though I'm not quite sure what it's trying to teach me yet? But I will remain open to what it has to tell me. That's the doorway. The doorway is my choice. How are you going to hold this? You're going to hold it in anger or fear or separation or whatever else might be on the negative lower vibrational scale? Or am I going to hold it in higher vibration? That's my choice. It's not always going to be an emotional choice. Please let me reinforce that. I'm not denying our human emotions. But let's say if I decide that the kingdom of heaven means I'm going to feel good all the time, that's bullshit. It's not going to happen. I'm still going to be a human being here on planet Earth, and I'm still going to experience ups and downs as far as my emotions go. If I let my emotional awareness define my spiritual sense of who I am, I'm always going to be in trouble. Now, I don't deny feeling. I love to feel good. So do you. But I'm not always going to be in that emotional space of feeling good. And I don't need to let that detract from me what my spirituality is like. And I don't need that to cut away my ability to be able to love you. Isn't real love tested out when I don't feel like loving you? And I do anyway. Or when I don't feel like loving myself, but I do anyway. That's the challenge. Jesus even said that. He said, you know, when you love those just who love you back, even thieves and robbers do that. The real challenge comes in is when you love somebody who is challenging, who you think in your little mind doesn't deserve love. That's where the challenge comes in. That's where the choice comes in. Am I going to hold you, whoever you are, Donald or Goofy, whoever you happen to be? Am I going to hold you in high vibration, or am I going to hold you in low vibration? That doesn't mean I have to agree with you. It doesn't mean I have to like your personality self. It doesn't mean any of that. It means I desire to see you as the higher consciousness that you really are, even if you can't see that in yourself. Because God knows people have seen that in me when I couldn't see that in myself. And I dare say that's probably happened to you too. People have loved you when you didn't experience yourself as being lovable. And I don't know about you, but that saved my butt. And sometimes it continues to save my butt. Get a sense of that? Sorry, I'm on a roll here this morning. You probably need to interrupt me if you need to get me to shut up. Of course, you know that happens practically every Sunday morning anyway. Now, what we ask for you, you are in agreement with. I want my mother to love me because you believe you need her love. I want my body to be beautiful all the time until I am 100 years old. Maybe your claim and your desire because you are in accord with your wishes. But you dance around the rooms that you have existed in, and you find the mirror that reflects what you want, and that is what you stand before. This is how I have known myself. This is how I believe myself to be. You look for your mirror to affirm who you have been, not who you are. And who you have claimed to be, I know who I am. You might recall, some of you old magicians and wizards out there might recall, in the first Harry Potter book, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, he found this room at Hogwarts, his school of wizardry and magic, that had a mirror in it. And the mirror was called the Mirror of Arased. And when you looked in the mirror, you didn't see just a physical reflection of yourself. What was, you saw yourself and you also saw what you thought was your heart's desire there with you. So what Harry saw there was him with his parents who had died when he was a little child. What Ron saw was him being really, really popular at sports and this and that and all sorts of other things that hadn't happened yet. And Professor Dumbledore showed up one time, said, I've seen you, I see you've discovered the mirror. You know, he said, wiser people than you have spent their lifetimes looking in this mirror for what they think they want or think they desire. And it's all come to naught because it's what they realize, what some people fail to realize is what they're doing is they're creating another attachment or another illusion. What is it that your deeper consciousness tells you who you are? And listening to that, it doesn't deny the human wants and desires we have. If you need to fill them up. But so often that by the time I fill up the material world desires in my heart, I don't want them anymore. They're not important. What the Dalai Lama pointed out, he said, the biggest problem that happens to you in the Western world is you try and fill your spiritual needs with material things. And he said, you just need to realize that doesn't work. When we say material things, I don't just mean an object. It might mean praise or being famous or being looked up to or whatever else my little self is attached to. Now we ask you this. If you were to stand in a doorway to a new vibration, just listen to that for a moment. Stand in the doorway of a new vibration. A new way of being expressed as you. That might be another really good question. How can I express myself differently today? How can I express myself more as love today than I did yesterday? How's that for stretching? A new way of being expressed as you. What would hinder you from stepping forward? Say that again. Now we ask you this. If you were to stand in a doorway to a new vibration, a new way of being expressed as you, what would hinder you from stepping forward? As we said, the fear that there will be no new room certainly is one, but that is not the real one. That is not the real fear. The real fear that keeps you back is the belief that you are not worthy of the kingdom. Now that wears all sorts of disguises. But the major one that I keep running across for myself is I am a divine child of, I know that I am a divine child of God, but I forget it most of the time. As soon as I do that, as soon as I put my butt in there, say that more ways than one. As soon as I put my butt in there, what I've done is I've fallen back into limitation. And actually I'm asking myself to affirm the limitation that I'm holding on to. Isn't that nuts? I know I'm a divine child of God, but what we're being asked to do is drop your butts. There are no buts. Anything that's a but is an illusion. Because as soon as you say, I know I'm a divine child of God, stop, because there's nothing else that can be done with that except embracing that as the truth. All of the buts, all of the arguments with that are illusions. That quote, that biblical quote I keep going back to all the time is, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Jesus said, do you believe I can do this? He didn't say, yeah, but. he said it in such a beautiful way. He said, here I am. This is the best I can do at this moment, and I know I can do more. Can you accept the best I can do and my openness to the possibility that I can do more? And he probably answered the question himself. So he's saying, yes, I know I can. I know you can. He didn't say, yeah, but. He said, here's where I perceive myself to be, and I am open to perceiving myself as being more. That's the clue. That's one of the keys. I'm going to do a little meditation after this next paragraph. Now we will do something for you. And we will do something, excuse me, for everybody who hears these words. We will tell you something different. And we will claim you in a new way. We will claim you in a new way. So suppose somebody came up to you, and of course they had a mask on, so did you, but somebody came up to you and somebody you knew, somebody you loved, somebody you cared about, and they said, I believe in you. I believe in you. And you could almost feel yourself sort of stretching to encompass that. Let me take that in. Because what I'm doing when I take that in is I am perceiving myself in a different way than I did 30 seconds ago. And I'm allowing that to happen. I'm allowing myself to be with that, to do that. I believe in you. We will tell you something different, and we will claim you in a new way. We know who you are. We know why you have come. We know how you serve. We know how you stand in your merit, how you decide, how you lay claim to your future, how you love. We know who you are. And if you give us the right now, we will do this for you. We will say the words and we will announce them to the world. So what I'd like you to do for a moment is just to put yourself down. And if you don't have any stuff, you don't have to worry about putting anything down. Just sitting back in the chair, bench you're in. Closing your eyes for a minute. Take a couple of deep breaths. And you are standing in a doorway. But it's not dark. It's not like you're stepping into the total unknown, stepping into darkness. You're standing on the threshold. And you have a choice to walk through or not. The questions are simple. Do I wish, do I desire to know myself, to know my truth in a deeper way? Am I willing to go beyond what I think I know into what I truly know, beyond time and beyond space? Do I choose to let myself be loved in a deeper way? Can I just for a moment drop all pretense of unworthiness. Am I willing to open myself up to the possibility of living in peace? Knowing that as I do all of these things, that I am not just doing them for myself on a personal level, that I am taking all beings with me, what would it be like to simply and lovingly take that step forward? To all who hear our voice, to all who say yes, to all who claim the kingdom, we ring a bell. Hear that in your mind, that chime. And the bell is an announcement of all that will be. And the renunciation of all that has been. And in the vibration of the bell that we bring into being, we clear the frequency of each one who hears our voice of the manifestation of fear of being in her own worth, of fearing herself as believing herself, himself, to be unworthy of love, and the creation of the kingdom is now at hand. All of that is erased. Now the words we speak are being spoken to your hearts. The words we speak are being spoken to your souls. The words we speak are being spoken to you throughout time so that you may dismantle the structures that you hold that keep you in your purview as the one who is not allowed to step over the threshold. Imagine now that we stand before you each, and as we claim your purview, your perception, your point of view, as we see you in your worth, as you choose to go with us, you stand, you rise, and you raise your voice to say, yes. Yes, yes, yes. I know who I am. I know what I am. I know how I serve. I am free. I am free. I am free. Breathing deeply. In receptiveness. In embracing the possibility. In love and peace and in awareness. You can stretch a bit. And open your eyes when you're ready. What a trip. Even if you might forget that consciously, on a deeper level of your being, what we might call the unconscious or the Christ conscious or the subconscious, you will know and you will remember. If we could say this all together, if you have a book, and if you don't, you can just listen. Yes, in the middle of page 221. Yes, I am. Yes, I am worthy. Yes, I hear my own words, and I declaim that I am no longer willing to set foot in my history as my present. In other words, your past is not your present. I decide that I am no longer willing to limit my expression by what I was told I once was. That I will live my life in accordance with my frequency that I lay claim to on the other side of the threshold. I couldn't help be reminded as we were saying that together and as we were doing that meditation of one of the Moody Blues' first albums was called On the Threshold of a Dream. And some of it is very appropriate for today because it said, together we stand on the threshold of a dream. None of us are standing on the doorway alone or by ourselves. And when the guides are saying we're helping you through, we're not pushing you through the gate. We're holding your hand as you're walking through. If you need that, if you want that, if you desire that. We don't push, we don't make decisions for you. But you can always decide. And that goes with this learning process too. When I ask myself the question, what am I learning from this or what do I need to learn from this? Is saying to myself, you know, maybe I need help in getting the answer to that. Can you help me, please? There are thousands, millions of beings around us right now that maybe don't have bodies that are willing to help us in our process of growth. Just as we have been helped, we've helped others too. None of this is an isolated trip. The manifestation of God as man is the kingdom made manifest. The manifestation of God as man is the kingdom made manifest. That's what Jesus did. I'll show you. This is what God in man looks like. Now, Buddha had a different language for that. But after his process of enlightenment and this light shone around him, you know, when people said, what are you? Are you a god? Are you a saint? He said, no, I'm awake. That's it. So, and Jesus could have answered the same way. You know, who do you think? Well, you know, well, I'm awake. I'm awake to the truth of who I am. And the truth of who I am God made manifest. So are you. That's what I've been trying to tell you for the last 2,000 years. When are you going to get it? How many different ways do I have to say, well, here's another book. Here's another book saying the same damn thing that I said 2,000 years ago. And here you are sitting saying, well, that's a really nice book, but what's the next book? What am I learning from this? Now, that doesn't mean I throw these away. I recognize that there's still part of my human self that's attached to this. All right. But, you know, the way Ram Dass put it one time after one of his talks, he said, you know, this was really neat that we all were here hanging out in the same space what a wonderful trip this was. He said, you know, but someday all of us are going to come into the same room together, or we're going to be together on a Zoom channel, or we're all going to come together in this, and we're going to sit here and we're not going to say a word. And then 45 minutes later, we're going to say, wow, what a great trip that was. When we are no longer dependent, and obviously I'm dependent on those words myself, so I'm not making a judgment out of that. But when we no longer dependent on the physical to be able to teach us what the spiritual means, that we are no longer dependent upon our emotions to tell us what the truth is, that we are much more willing to go inside and know what we already know. Know what I already know. Isn't that interesting? Can I know what I already know? Can I be in touch with the truth of who? How can you not be in touch with the truth of who you are? You can pretend. You can make believe. You can pretend you forgot. And again, I'm not making that into a judgment, because I pretend I forgot all the time. Could have had a V8. Huh? Could have done this. I could see peace instead of this. Oh, really? What about this? What about, I could see peace instead of this.
Hey, Jerry.
Yo.
So that reminds me of an event, kind of, bear with me, I may have shared this before in our session, our group. But many, 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 many years ago, I think it was probably really close to when my wife made her transition, I was seeking maybe a mentor or someone who could just kind of point me in a direction, or maybe even a guru. I don't know what I was seeking. So I met with a practitioner. Actually, he was a minister. He's a minister at a Science of Mind church. I said, hey, I'd like to kind of get together. Can we have a cup of coffee and just kind of go over some things? And said, sure. So we met together and we talked, and he listened. And then after he heard my story, he said, you know, I could probably take you on as a client. If I did, I would probably charge you maybe a couple hundred dollars an hour. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing with that. I kind of heard moans and groans. What he was saying, you have the tools. You can do the work yourself. It's inherently in you. But if you want to be lazy, I'll gladly take your money.
Got it. I thank you for that, Jim.
Yeah.
I'm going to need to close up this morning a little bit early, because I've got to do a talk upstairs. So again, I want to tell you how honored I am to be part of this circle, to remind you again of your generosity of sending donation love offering to Unity of Louisville, 757 South Brook Street, 40203, putting on the check, the Book of Knowing and Worth. Or if you decide to pay online, there's a couple of buttons you have to punch and put down Book of Loving and Worth again on Adult Sunday School. That keeps this ministry going. But above all, I appreciate your love, your energy, your support. As I said, I'm honored to do this work with you, but I need this just as much as you do. And I hope I'm not taking up a lot of room or a lot of space by talking the way I do, but I just kind of sort of plug in. I don't prepare any of this, and not that I need to, but it's not me talking. If it was, I don't think we'd be here. Is the spirit talking through me, which again, I am totally honored and appreciative of. And remember, that is also true for you. the Spirit speaks to you and through you, not just in this 45 minutes on a Sunday morning. I'll leave you with the question we began with. What is it that this situation, this person, this feeling, this emotion, this memory, what is it that it's trying to teach me? And allowing ourselves to be open to whatever that lesson might be. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Glad you could join us. I will see you soon. Bye.
Thanks, Jerry.
Live long and prosper. See you guys. Jerry. I'm going to sign off.
Okay.